Sometimes you've got to make decisions that, you know, are not popular and that negatively impact people and in the best interests of the larger enterprise and organization. So that's always been, you know, the toughest part for me personally in a leadership position is, you know, those decisions that absolutely have to be made for the best interests of the organization, but they impact people. You know, fortunately, we're coming out of a market that, again, was the greatest 10-year decade of growth, fueled by two unicorn years at the very end of that. And so it's really about being disciplined. It's about operational excellence, and it's about spending effectively and making the proper investments. And that's what, you know, we're committed to as an enterprise, making the right investments for our broker owners and for our sales professionals. So ultimately, collectively, they can create an exceptional real estate experience for everybody that they serve.
Do you have limiting beliefs? Have you believed something that someone told you and carried that through to your professional life? Today, I'm interviewing Jason Watt. He is the president of Coldwell Banker Affiliates. He's been in the job for about 7 months, but he's been in brokerage for many, many years. He said starting as a child, he is a son of a broker. So he told a great story about when he was about 19 years old and expressing his desire to be in a certain career to a professor who shot him down, told him it wasn't possible. And he went away with thinking, okay, well, this isn't possible for me. He never ended up getting to do that career, but he found something he loved just as much in real estate. And we talk a lot about just navigating through today's uncertain times and really how to focus as a leader when there's so much chatter around you. So it was a great talk with him, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So Jason, welcome to the Real Trending Podcast.
Thank you, Tracy. Pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, congratulations on your appointment to Coldwell Banker Affiliates. And I noticed that you held quite a few leadership positions over the years with different brands and that. So I guess I just want to start by having you tell me a little bit about, like, what are some of the lessons that you've learned or some of the strategies or techniques that you're carrying through to your new position with Coldwell Banker?
Yeah, well, great question. And I have to admit that I'm an SOB, which is the son of a broker. So I've grown up in and around the business. Actually, this summer will be 31 years licensed, but I've really been in and around it about 42 years. So since I was the age of 7, and, you know, I worked for the company and the brokerage during middle school and high school. So I've been around the business of real estate for a very long time in every capacity that you could manage, from sales to executive leadership to office leadership. I did, however, go to law school after college. And then after law school, was in another industry in business, and that was a sports management business. So my partners and I represented exclusively pro football players during that professional time, and then ultimately transitioned back into real estate in late 2004, early 2005. And so I think, you know, what has served me well, and I think the value add to the teams that I've had the good fortune of being members of, is that diversity professionally. Certainly running another business in another industry and those disciplines are pretty transferable, but also being able to empathize and understand and appreciate what a broker owner and sales professionals go through on a daily basis, you know, marrying those two, I think is served me well in my professional career. And ultimately, I think one of the reasons that this opportunity was afforded to me, which I'm really honored and humbled, it's really the only company and the only position that would have been compelling enough for me to leave a really good situation to this one. So I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, I'm sure that law degree comes in handy with everything that's going on in today's real estate world as well, kind of figuring out what's going on with all these cases. So
it's very complex, that's for sure.
Definitely. So I want to talk about some of the leadership decisions you've made in the past. And what do you find is your most challenging decision? Maybe even since starting, it's not even been a year, correct? You started in October.
So about 7 months or starting my seventh month. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great question. And I think that personally, it's always been the decisions that are toughest have always been the ones where you're unfavorably impacting people. And sometimes you've got to make decisions that, you know, are not popular and that negatively impact people and in the best interests of the larger enterprise and organization. So that's always been, you know, the toughest part for me personally in a leadership position is, you know, those decisions that absolutely have to be made for the best interests of the organization, but they impact people. You know, beyond that, you know, I've had the, I guess, good fortune of navigating the two greatest real estate markets of all time, 2002 to 2007, and then mid-2012 to mid-2022. And on the flip side, I've had the good fortune of navigating through the worst market since the Great Depression. That was 2008 to 2011. So a lot of different market cycles, and what comes in those opportunities are lessons that you really can carry forward, in any sort of market. And that's operational excellence and discipline. Fortunately, we're coming out of a market that, again, was the greatest 10-year decade of growth, fueled by two unicorn years at the very end of that. And so I think right now, one of the biggest important attributes is keeping proper perspective of where we are today, comparing it to the market that we've just come off of, and then the last 18 months or so of what I've called the market just recalibrating itself. So it's really about being disciplined. It's about operational excellence, and it's about spending effectively and making the proper investments. And that's what, you know, we're committed to as an enterprise, making the right investments for our broker owners and for our sales professionals. So ultimately, collectively, they can create an exceptional real estate experience for everybody that they serve.
So having been through, you know, two down, two up, and then a bunch in the middle, what is your favorite? Where do you, you know, what excites you, you know, being in a down market versus an up market?
Great question. And I love the challenge. I love the challenge of market corrections. And again, I've used the term recalibration. I love the challenge of navigating through that, because I think it forces you to be really present and engaged. Not that you ever are, not that you're ever on autopilot, but when you have year after year after year after year of good growth, you know, complacency can set in. And I've always thrived tackling challenging marketplaces, because I've always said that actually weeds out what I refer to as bad actors. And, you know, to navigate successfully and not just sustain, but grow through contracting markets, your skill set just has to improve. We have to get better at what we do at our craft. And so I've just always preferred challenging markets, because I do think that separates success and struggle, and it separates the true professionals from, again, what I would refer to as bad actors. Not bad people, just bad actors that think the market and the business is easy. And in challenging times, it's not. And it's a challenging business even in good times, but in contracting markets, even more so.
Yeah. And so Coldwell Banker obviously has the franchise side and the company owned side, and you are in charge of the franchise side. So tell me how that works, collaborating with the company owned side to both, basically both find success in different ways.
Yeah, I really have to, and again, I alluded to it in my comment, this is really the only job with the only company that would have been compelling enough for me to leave my former company for, and largely because of the people. And I got to give senior leadership credit at Anywhere, and specifically Coldwell Banker, that there is this culture of one CB, you know, regardless of company owned and franchised. And Kamini Lane is the president and CEO of Coldwell Banker Realty. And, you know, we have a really great relationship and open lines of communication, and we're transparent and candid with each other. But that is cascaded down from the top. And if you're with Coldwell Banker, it doesn't really matter what side of the house, you're with Coldwell Banker. That's, it's one brand, one culture, and we have an abundance mentality. Everybody can win. And it's just been, it's been a great thing to be a part of and witness the first 6-7 months here.
Ready to elevate your real estate career? Check out the CE Shop, your go-to real estate education provider. We offer self-paced, online, engaging courses for real estate agents, home inspectors, and mortgage loan officers. Plus, we partner with schools, associations, and brokerages to bring students top-notch, flexible education. Take 30% off with code PODCAST for a limited time only, because you deserve your dream career. Yeah, and I, you know, basically I've read quite a few data points that say agents are starting to move more, change brokerages more. You know, there's probably some consolidation happening in the brokerage industry based on the lawsuits. And so what are some of the key factors kind of driving franchise growth at Coldwell Banker right now? And how are you working the market currently?
Yeah, great question. I mean, certainly we're a very mature enterprise and organization, 118 years in business. And so we're a global company. We're very mature. And so, you know, two things. One, we want to help our existing affiliates grow. So that's a priority for us, identifying those folks that have a growth appetite and a growth willingness. How do we partner with them to support those growth efforts? And then secondarily, what are the markets that we're not in, both domestically and internationally, that we're not in today that we should be and want to be in? So those are really kind of the parallel paths today that, you know, we're focused on, is helping our existing affiliates grow, as well as identifying those markets that we're not in today that we want to be in and candidly should be.
Yeah. Do you find that, you know, talk to me a little bit about what you're seeing out there. And do you find that, you know, people are seeking you out because of maybe the protection of the settlements, or, you know, I guess it's now NAR's covered almost everyone other than some certain brokerages. But do you see an influx? Do you see that trending up of more, maybe even independents wanting to come to Coldwell Banker?
I think really that's not our value proposition. I mean, we certainly want to lead with, we're a great business partner. And, you know, you look at our value proposition, our deliverables. I mean, it's really an all-inclusive type environment, and where we want to deliver the proper business services and support. You know, so I've been in the business and around it for almost 40 years. And I've never, other than when I was actively selling, I never felt I was in the real estate business. We provided services and support to people that are in the real estate business. And that's how I'm approaching, you know, my current position. And so, you know, when you come from that perspective, it's really as a business partner and identifying the needs and the wants of the individual prospect. And most everybody is trying to answer some question or has some concern. So that's what we try to identify. And then, are we the best solution? Do we have the best answer for those concerns or those questions that they're trying to answer? So we're really in the business services and support business of those in the real estate business.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's kind of stay the course. And you know, despite everything that's going on outside, the goals remain the same, right? And what you want to accomplish remains the same. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, because how are you balancing maybe these short-term pressures? And I say short-term, I know a lot of these things are definitely inspiring change in the industry. However, they are short-term because we're resilient. We will come through them. How are you balancing that with maybe long-term goals and with your strategic positioning and your initiatives?
Yeah, great. Another great question. Obviously, that striking that balance is crucial to just being sustainable and relevant. You know, I think being hyper-focused and having crystal clarity on who you are and what you deliver in your respective market is kind of the starting point. You know, there's a great book out there titled Pleased But Not Satisfied. And the author outlines a strategy, which, you know, I've implemented for as long as I can remember, but it's plan, execute, measure, correct. So those four steps: plan, be thoughtful, be mindful with respect to what the goals and initiatives are. Execute, pause to measure the outcomes, and then correct if you need to. And if you don't need to, you keep going on. So, I mean, remaining disciplined in the eye of the storm, if you will, of change, I think is really, really critical. And fortunately, there's no other enterprise that can say they've been serving consumers for 118 years like Coldwell Banker. And so we've seen a lot. This is not our first rodeo, if you will. And, you know, I go back to, I'm a big John Maxwell fan. In 2013, I attended his leadership conference. It was amazing. And I remember him saying and sharing that change is inevitable. Growth is optional. And so at the end, and I think that's so relevant to the landscape that we find ourselves in today, that things are always going to be changing and always going to be evolving. Do we have a willingness to adapt and a willingness to grow? And that's just where we find ourselves today as an industry. Candidly, I don't know that a whole lot will change in the actual practice. There's going to be, certainly be some mechanical changes in terms of how we operate. But this is a professional services industry, and those services are really, really critical. And I think will always continue to be critical. And those that are the most willing to adapt, the most willing to change, and at the same time, get better at what they do, will just come out ahead. And so I'm excited about the changes and leading through change. And I think the one thing that I pride my optimism in and on is, you know, it's rooted in data. So it's not, I don't look at this period of time through rose-colored glasses and naive to, you know, the challenges out there. But ultimately, the data tells me everything's going to be okay. I go back to, you know, the 80s and early 90s when the banks were going to eliminate brokerages. That didn't happen. Then technology in the early 2000s was going to eliminate the need of brokers. That didn't happen. And I'll be darned if the legal community and the government are going to impact, you know, what we do for a living and the value that we bring to consumers as they navigate one of the most significant events that they go through. So again, I'm just really excited. Be disciplined, commit to operational excellence, and plan, execute, measure, and correct.
And when you say operational excellence, elaborate on that.
So really, again, goes back to being clear about your value proposition, what your deliverables are, what is your role in that professional and business relationship. And then every investment that you're making, whether it's human resources, whether it's time, you've just got to make sure that you're really disciplined in delivering on the right things that support and are in alignment with what your partners need, as well as what your role is within the business. So when I speak of operational excellence, it's really clarity and vision and what you do and who you are, and total alignment in every investment that you're making, whether it's services, support, human capital. It's just, you've got to be really, really disciplined right now and always.
Yeah, absolutely. Although good markets, you kind of lose that discipline sometimes.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about maybe a significant setback or kind of an aha moment that you've had where you've had to pivot, and tell me about that.
Well, I've been very blessed professionally in throughout my real estate career. So I'm thankful for that. But I will go back to an event that I was 19 years old in college. And if I could be doing anything else, I would be a college basketball coach. So I was in my happy place last night watching the NCAA championship, both Sunday and Monday, the women's and men's. But I took a concepts of coaching class. And I approached the instructor, the professor, who happened to be a very, very successful coach in his own right, won multiple national championships in his sport, was a member of Olympic teams as a coach, so very well regarded. And I remember approaching this individual after class one night, and I was a sophomore in college. And I tell him, I really want to be a college basketball coach when I graduate. And this individual says to me, Jason, you're not playing college basketball, so the odds of being a college basketball coach is not going to happen. So my recommendation is you pursue another career. Well, I walked away from that, really putting a lot of stock in that feedback and bought into it and accepted it as my reality, my limiting belief. So again, it's worked out really, really good for me. I'm fortunate and blessed. But at 49 years old, if I could go back and talk to Jason Watt, 19, which is 30 years, my advice is never let anybody tell you what you can or cannot do or become. And so that, I think, is served me well. I don't have a lot of regrets in life. Anytime somebody asks me a similar question or is there anything I regret, I only go back to that one instant. But it was a great life lesson for me. And my wife and I enjoy five daughters. And so those are the, some of the life lessons that I'm trying to cascade down to them, that pursue your passion. Don't let anybody tell you what is possible or sway you from pursuing your passion. And I think that's the same in our professional careers and our personal lives. So our leadership team, our owners, our sales professionals, I love sharing that story because the bottom line is don't accept anybody else's version of your reality. And those are just limiting beliefs. Pursue with bigger what you're passionate about. And we work in the greatest industry that there is in real estate. And if you pursue it with passion and from a place of really a servant's type of mentality, this will be such a rewarding career, not just financially, but relationally. And, I just love the business, but that is probably the one story in my 49 years that really sticks with me as far as, what is something that, is, you can kind of lean back on as a reminder from a life lesson. Certainly 2008 to 2011, anybody operating a brokerage during that time or even selling can probably has some stories through that, 3-4 year period. But that one, that life lesson for me, I thank that professor for that. Because it's been one that I've remembered for 30 years.
Yeah. Now the real question is, do any of your five daughters play basketball?
Well, they're all very active. It was either you be involved in something all year round or get a job, and probably both at some point. None of them want to work. So club soccer, club softball, volleyball, basketball, gymnastics, competitive dance, competitive cheer. They do it all.
So you got it all.
Yeah.
So you're covering all the sports.
Yeah.
Win more listings and sell more listings with Realtor.com's listing toolkit. Boost your visibility with motivated sellers, amplify your listings, find matching active buyers, and contact their agents directly. Most agents get their first seller lead within just 3 days of activating their account. So get yours at realtor.com/housingwire. So do you envision the future of real estate leadership changing in the next decade?
No. And here's why. It always has been, always will be a professional services business. And we don't create anything. We don't create the marketplace. You know, our job is to interpret the market, be able to articulate the market conditions so a consumer can make a well-informed decision about buying or selling. And so from a leadership perspective, leading either other leaders or sales professionals, that really boils down to the relationships that you build with folks and your ability to analyze the marketplace and be able to package that up in a way that somebody can make an informed decision. So that's never going to change. And I don't think that there's going to be this automation of the transaction that's been talked about for a long time. I don't see how human beings are eliminated from one of the most significant events, either buying or selling. And I've, you know, always kind of defaulted to the secret formula to success in this business is AA plus RR, attitude and activities, routine and relationships. I mean, that has stood the test of time. You focus on those four things and it will into the future as well. So I don't see from a leadership perspective, all the way down to a sales professional's perspective and delivery of services and experience, I don't see the practical change in that practice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to continue to be about relationships and people as well. So definitely. My last question is just what's next for Coldwell Banker? You know, how are you steering the company toward some of the goals that you have?
Well, ultimately, we want to be the premier provider of home ownership and commercial real estate services. You know, we enjoy being in that space for a long time and continue to be there. We want to be the number one option for real estate services, whether it's home ownership on the residential side or commercial on the commercial side. And I think at the end of the day, it's a combination of things. One, what are the impacts of technology, not to replace us, but to create greater efficiencies in how we operate? So whether it's AI or anything in that realm, you know, being current on that so we can continue to be a relevant business partner. So what technologies are coming out to create better efficiencies to leverage, which then frees up time to really do the relational piece of the business, which is ultimately what's going to win the day. So, you know, it's being mindful and monitoring all the changes that allow us to, back to, you know, the operational excellence theory of just being the best, most disciplined provider of our services and support, and continue to attract the talent that really is committed to the business and committed to delivering and creating an exceptional real estate experience. I think that's going to, over time, going to continue to be more and more and more meaningful, especially as we continue to navigate a complex market that we're experiencing today. The most willing are going to be the ones that do the most business. That's the way it is.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, it has been a pleasure and it was very nice meeting you finally. So thank you so much for joining the Real Trending podcast.
Thank you, Tracy. Thanks for having me. Thank you for everything that you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Real Trending. If you haven't already, we'd love it if you'd take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. And we will see you next week with more news and insights.
. 2024 is the year to act, to make bold moves, tell better stories, and build brands that endure. At the 1,000-Watt Brand and Marketing Summit, we're putting real estate experts like you in a room with some of the greatest marketing minds around so you can turn your big ideas into action. Join us in Dallas, June 25th through the 27th for a real estate event designed for doers. Get your tickets at 1000watt.net/summit. That's 1000watt.net/summit.